Tonight's talk is about God being a deliverer. I was here about a year ago, and I think we can all probably say that since 1 year, we've probably had things we could say that God has delivered us from. We've had things in our lives that, you know, have troubled us and sort of like caused us aggravation, and we can say that whether it be big or small, the Lord's always been there to take us from one place to another place. And sometimes it takes a while, sometimes, you know, it's very quick. And I think, you know, overall, within the time that it does take, sometimes we're taught things, we learn things, we overcome things, and, you know, we solidly know at the end that the Lord has done it. He leaves little trails for us, little marks for us. He can testify, you know, like Brent saying about he's not getting paid for 3 months, you know. The Lord gives you the desires of your heart. And so, you know, that's what happens. And so really, tonight's talk is about God being our deliverer. And he doesn't forget his promise. That's what we can sort of really believe. So we turn to our first scripture, which is Isaiah chapter 31. We know this is a prophecy of Jerusalem being delivered in 1917. Verse 4, it says, "For thus says the Lord spoke unto me, like as a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof." In verse 5 it says, "As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also he will deliver it, and passing over he will preserve it." And so here's a promise here that was back, obviously, in the time of Isaiah, in sort of like around about 600 BC, of Jerusalem being defended, delivered, protected, all these things. Even before it even happened, the Lord has actually said, "I'm going to protect you, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to promise that I'm going to take care of you." So the Lord, he doesn't forget his promise. We know that 2,520 years later, this was fulfilled in such a way that the Bible described it. It said it would happen this way, on this month, on this day, and this is the way it would happen. It sort of mentions here about as birds flying. We know that obviously Jerusalem was delivered by General Allenby, and he used biplanes to drop leaflets, and the people that are in there sort of saw these leaflets and saw the name of Allenby, and possibly referred to, thought his name's Allenby, which means prophet of God. And, you know, and I think Allenby left a gate open so they could, he said that you can leave through this area here and you can escape and there'll be no trouble and no problems. And yeah, Jerusalem was delivered without any shots being fired inside its wall. There was no problems. And, you know, the Lord always, obviously, we can read that he leaves a way of escape, even for people that aren't in the Lord, aren't part of his promise. He wants to get people out safely without any trouble. That's the way the Lord does things, if people have it. And look at this word here as being preserved. In the concordance, it means, talks about like a slipperiness, as like a smoothness. The Lord sort of delivers in a smooth way, like a bar of soap in the bath, when you try and grab hold of it and it sort of slips out your hands. You know, the Lord can do that in a way that, you know, you're unscathed. And we can read about when Jesus, sometimes he went through the midst of people when they were trying to take hold of him. He just sort of was able to move out the way. And, you know, that's the way the Lord can do it for us. I suppose we can all refer back to situations in our lives when we have been delivered. It's a time you feel so, I don't know, exhilarated, don't you? Because, you know, you're in a situation, a tight spot, and, you know, the Lord sort of takes you from one place to another place. And you can feel that real kind of relief when it happens. There was a time back in Liberia, I was thinking about my most time when I felt like most awkward, most in danger. I was in Liberia about 3 years ago, and we were sort of travelling from one place to another. And we're travelling through the jungle with a... in a taxi. You've probably done that, Paul. Taxis that sort of you drive along and they kind of do this down the road, you know. There's no brakes and kind of like the windscreen sometimes got smashed, it's all smashed, the windows all don't work, you know. So you're flying along this taxi with big holes in the back and you don't want to sit on the seats. It's so disgusting. You just sort of like hover on top of the seat, you know. So we're travelling from the middle of Liberia, a place called Bunga, which is, it used to be a very dangerous place, into Johnsonville, which is the place where the fellowship is basically started. And we're going through the jungle area because we want to take a shortcut, and went past a police checkpoint, and there was a, well, we didn't see the policeman there, but about 5 minutes later, this policeman come along on the back of a motorbike, and he's flagging us down, you know. So he pulled us over, and this man had a gun, and he was talking to the taxi driver. The taxi driver got out and was chatting to him, and was obviously demanding money off of our taxi driver. And the sort of conversation started getting a bit heated, and our leader jumped out the front of the taxi as well, and he's talking to the taxi driver, and there's all this thing going on where there's this dodgy copper, the taxi driver, and our leader is now talking to him as well. And then Jan Peter gets out of the car. You know, Jan Peter, he kind of likes a bit of a fight. He's only a short fella. He likes a row, you know. But anyway, so he started talking to the taxi driver and the copper, and, you know, things are sort of changing. And I'm sitting there, and in the back of this taxi on my own, and there's people kind of coming out of the jungle, sort of just coming around this car, you know, all these Africans. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's happening here, you know, and they're sort of surrounding the car, and I'm thinking, I'm in a tight spot right now, you know, sort of, what's going to happen to me? Because, you know, we're worth money over there, and people can get taken, and, you know, taken and can ransom and that sort of thing. Anyway, funny situation happened where Jan Peter, he knew someone who was a footballer in Johnsonville, or no, he was in Monrovia, and he got the phone to him, and in the end, the police commissioner of Liberia spoke to this police officer and said, you better let our people go, these people, because we know these people are here, and, you know, there's going to be trouble if you don't. So basically, he let us go. We got back to our place, and the next day, this one of these Africans that came out of the sort of the jungle to see us, he kind of like saw this thing happen, and the next day, policeman came to this man, this dodgy copper, chucked him in the back of a van and took him away. And this sort of like this African fella come up to Jan Peter. He was like this to Jan Peter, you know, and realizing that, you know, I don't know, this little small fella like that, like Jan, and this big African fella, and it was quite funny. Anyway, but, you know, it reminded me that you can't mess with God's people. You know, you just cannot mess with God's people, especially when they're doing God's work, because the Lord will look after them. And it says here, like you read here, it says, like a lion over his prey, like a roaring lion. And if you've ever seen a roaring lion on National Geographic, when the hyenas come up, they're fierce, you know, just like past Tim's cat. It's like seriously fierce, you know, you play with it and it's like, it's all nice at you, and it goes, and it wants to take your hand off, you know. But a lion, you know, they really defend their prey. You know, they're going to sort of look after, you know, what they really want and what they love. And the Lord says he's going to do that for us. So we can take great comfort in that as well. The Lord knows how to watch over us. He's our deliverer. And like I said, we get great wisdom going through those situations as we do as well, because we know truly, because we see the hand of the Lord. It convicts us. Okay, we'll have a look at a story here. 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay, so obviously we got this fantastic chapters of the Bible just around here with Elijah. And there's some pretty like standard miracles that happen around this area here. There's a time where there's the axe head that floats, and who else is there? There is a situation where there's the Syrians keep on coming against Israel, and there's a time where they're surrounded, and Elijah prays and says, let this young man who's a bit worried see the power of the Lord, and the young man's eyes are open, and there's chariots of fire all around them, and that, you know, and he sort of sees that God is with them. And then there's another time here when the king of Syria is trying to get the king of Israel, and Elijah warns the king of Israel that you know, this is a bit of an ambush set up for him. So he sort of warns him to go a different way. And so we'll just read here in chapter 6, verse 24. Yeah, so he's been warned, and because of that, now the king of Syria has come against Israel, because he's a bit sort of like a bit put out that he wanted to get the king of Israel, but he wasn't able to because Elijah warned him. So we read in verse 24, it says, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until the ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Lord, help my lord, O king. And he said, If I do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Sorry, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered this woman, said to me, give me thy son that we may eat him today and we'll eat thy son tomorrow. So we bore my son and did eat him. And I did say, and did say to her next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she have hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard these words of the woman that he rent his clothes and passed upon the wall, and all the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh. Then he said, go do so more also to me, if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. So there's a really bad situation going on here in Samaria, serious stuff going on, where there's people so hungry that they're doing crazy things. They're starved. And when there's a siege going on, sometimes people do crazy things. But one point you want to see here is that Elijah has been doing good things. And sometimes you do just get grief for doing good things. You know, he's been blamed for this siege coming upon Israel. But he's just sort of delivered the king of Israel out of the king of Syria's hand. But it's still the situation come upon Elijah here where he's like, you can't do good for doing good sometimes, can you? Sometimes things come upon you, no matter what happens, you are just doing your own thing, you're sort of preaching the gospel, you're helping people, you're doing stuff, you're doing the right thing, and then you just get trouble. That's just what happens. That is what happens in the Lord. But Elijah doesn't, he's not fazed by this, doesn't care. He's not bothered in any way. He carries on. Chapter 7. So, verse 1, it says, then Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if a Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. So there's this... Elijah is now prophesying that tomorrow things are going to be completely different to the way they are today. And there's this man that's nearby, this Lord, who the king leaned on. I suppose we can take that this Lord was like an advisor to the king, maybe. And he is sort of like being negative. He's putting doubts in. So you've got Elijah prophesying that things are going to be different tomorrow. And you've got this man sort of saying, there's no way going to happen. How is this ever going to happen? If the windows of heaven be opened, it's never going to happen. He's being negative. He's putting it down. He's not believing it anyway. We go on just quickly to read what happens next. Verse 4. There's four leprous men in verse 3. There are four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. So you have four men with a completely different attitude altogether. You had this man who was a bit negative, he doubted. And you got these four sinners, I suppose you can sort of take it. They were leprous people. And they were saying, well, what have we got to lose? We just got to do something here. We can't just sit here and die because we go into Jerusalem. We're going to die because the siege is in there. We sit here, we die. We might as well go and just get stuck in and see what we can do. So they're heading now to the camp of Syria. And there's nobody there when they get there. And I think really we can sort of, the moral behind this, I suppose, really, is thinking that we have to believe things are going to happen. We have to trust the Lord in his word. You know, what example do we want to do? Do we want to see that there's prophecies in this Bible, there's prophecies in the Word of God to say the Lord is going to look after us, he's going to deliver us, he's going to take care of us, and believe the Word of God? Or do we be negative like the man who said it's never going to happen? These people here, the sinners, they're sort of like the leprous people. They just wanted to just go and do something about it, you know. And I think really we can take it ourselves. We just get stuck in. Just really just get stuck in and just go for it and not be worried about what the situation is. And sometimes things can look really dire and the situation can be trouble for us, but we just can just go forward and make something of the situation that we have in our hand. And get fully involved. And having the right attitude, really, I suppose. That there's a testimony from one of our young sisters in the fellowship in Medway. And she came along about maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Her name's Dorita. And I witnessed to Glenn and to her mum as well. They both came along and they had quite serious issues, you know. They had sort of like psychological issues and things. And now they're married and their issues are not there anymore. They have still have problems, obviously, and there's still like situations in their family. But this young girl was standing there and she was testifying. She has the Holy Spirit and she was sort of testifying the way that she's come to the Lord. And although there has been problems in the past that have been terrible, things have changed and they've improved, and she can see it in her life and it's affecting the way she is. And she can say, you know, I know that there's still things going on, but I know the Lord can deliver us and keep us and make things change for us. And she had a really good attitude. A really like healthy kind of attitude of belief and just no doubt there. And even though it's not perfect right now, she knows that this is the place where she's going to, you know, get the healing and things are going to change for her most of all. Okay, where are we now? Verse 15, if we go down to there. Chapter 7, verse 15. So these couple of leprous people, these four leprous people have gone back and they've told what's going on, and now the people that have been sort of stuck in this siege are now coming out to get the same thing as the people, the leprous people have seen, the food and the raiment. It says in verse 14, they took therefore two chariots, and the king sent after the host of Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And all the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord whose hand he had leaned to have charge upon the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who had spoke when the king came down to him. And it came to pass that the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt not see it with thine eyes, but shall not see it thereof. Sorry, not eat thereof. So it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. So the situation that this man who was negative, who didn't believe, he was trodden down. He was trodden down by the people. And I suppose we can take that as well, that we really obviously need to believe the word of God, because sometimes people can tread on us. They can sort of tread us down. If we don't fully believe, we're not fully convicted in the word of God, you know, in schools, in your workplace, sometimes, you know, you can just be trodden down. You know, people can kind of just wear you down just because you're not fully kind of grasping what the scriptures say, or you haven't got this full conviction in things. You can just get trodden down. There's just two good examples here of either, you know, really sort of trusting the Lord and going forward, or letting things sort of like just wear you down. But it's all about having the right attitude. It's choosing the one where the sinner said, the leprous people said, just go forward, just get stuck in, just do stuff, and we'll see what happens. Or you can be the person that sort of like is negative and said, well, it's never going to happen. You can be sort of like be wore down there. Okay, so people who believed, they got the benefits. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, we go there. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honour, so that he wants nothing for his soul, yet for his soul of all that he desires, yet God gives him not the power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats it. This is a vanity and an evil disease. Well, sometimes we can have everything that we want, but we worry about it. You know, we're sort of like stressed out, or we just sort of like think about things and worry and go round and round in circles. And this is this situation here where we've got what we want, but we carry on kind of being concerned and worried about what could happen to us. So we don't actually enjoy the things that we have, you know. So I suppose that you know, the Lord's saying there, you know, just don't worry about what you have, because it's only just given to us on loan anyway. You know, our lives are in God's hands. We don't have to be really truly concerned about you know, how we live our lives, because you know, God's going to provide for us. But if we continue to really worry about things and be stressed, then we can just not enjoy this sort of life we have right now. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. It says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. And, you know, this is the other side of it, having a bountiful eye, have an eye that sort of believes and wants to always do the good thing. And the Lord says that he will bless people with this attitude, having the sort of like the bountiful sort of, yeah, things going to happen, things going to change. It could be, it could take a little bit of time, it could take 24 hours, but we know that it's not going to be the way that it's going to be now, that the situation that we're in is going to change, is going to improve. All right, so we'll just finish off in Romans chapter 8. Really, really wanting it. There was a little while ago, I was doing a job for this. It's actually Dennis Murphy, but he's got a couple of tenants in his house at the moment. He's in Liverpool. And I was doing this boiler change for this tenant of his. And they're from, I think it's from Nigeria, this couple. And I'm doing this boiler change, and I'm on my own at the moment because Phil's in Perth. So he's left me on my own. I hope you're listening, Phil. And so I'm working doubly hard at the moment. And this house is up some steps and down the road and all this from where my parking space is. And so I'm working away. I'm really working quite hard and efficiently. And usually I sort of try and take a bit of time out to chat to my customers. And this time I'm so kind of busy and I'm working away. I'm thinking, I've not spoken to this lady, you know, and or this man here, and just sort of working away. And I think, well, I wonder why that is, you know, why I'm so quiet and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I just started talking to her and she opened up a little bit, and turns out she reads the Bible, she goes to church, and she wanted to know more. So as I'm working away on my boiler, I'm sort of saying, right, okay, well, read Acts chapter 19. And I'm like working away and she's reading it out to me, and I'm saying, okay, well, explain to this situation here. I said, right, now read Acts chapter 8. And I'm kind of working away still, and all the kids are screaming around the place. She's got 5 kids and she's got a TV on, an African TV, not what that's like, you know, kind of interesting. And I'm working away still, and there's all this like cooking utensils around the place, you know. And I said, right, now read Acts chapter 2. And he says, she read Acts chapter 2, and she went, oh, do you know, I've been talking to my pastor, I really want this Holy Spirit, I've been talking about him, and you know, I haven't got it yet, I've been baptized, but you know, I've not got it. She said, how do I get this thing? I was like, right, okay, this is interesting. And I thought get her to a meeting. I thought, no, she really wants it right now, she's like really convicted, she's been reading the Bible, I've just been kind of busy and she'd be reading it, and the word of God just convicted this lady. So I said, well, we can pray for the Holy Spirit now if you want. She's like, yeah, come on, let's do it. So I was, oh, goodness me. So I got this African like TV on and these kids running around, and I was like, well, I sit down there, I'm going to sort of like pray in tongues with you and say, you know, you say hallelujah. And it was kind of like, yeah, and all these kids started like giggling and laughing, you know, and I was like praying this lady, and it was really noisy in there, you know. I was thinking, it's never going to happen. And all of a sudden she burst out in tongues. I was like, whoa, this is incredible. So I carried on praying with her, and she stopped. She got a little bit emotional because she'd been praying for such a long time. And and then the kids are kind of looking at her now and sort of like just standing around, and they've kind of calmed down, you know. And she stopped. We talked for a bit. And I said, you know, do you want to pray again? And she said, yeah. So I laid hands on her, and sure enough, she started speaking in tongues. It's really kind of like clear language, you know. And we stopped, and this little boy looked at me and went, can you give it to me? I was like, well, you come to a meeting, have a look, you know. It's only about this tall sort of thing, you know. But what it was this lady had this attitude of, I want it right now. She had the right attitude, and she was delivered just there and then. No problems at all, you know. The word of God was there. The promises of God were there. She read them for herself. She chose it. She didn't say, oh, maybe this is not going to happen in her head. You know, she just said, I don't care. Don't care. This African TV is going on. You know, the kids are screaming around the place. There's all this distraction. She just got stuck in right in the thick of it. And it made me realize that, you know, God's deliverance, we have to have the right attitude for it. We have to have that, it's going to be all right attitude. You know, go in with the attitude that, well, I don't care, but the word of God is true, you know. People can't trip me down. People can't sort of make me sort of like doubt and stoop low a little bit. You know, it was just a wonderful thing to see. And, you know, she's not come to a meeting just yet, but she will. I'm sure she will. She's interested, you know, to come and sort of find out where this originated from, because she's been praying for this for quite some time, with talking to her pastor, and she comes from a Pentecostal church. But, it hasn't happened before. And it really made me see that, you know, God's deliverance comes no matter where you are, who you are, what you are. You read the word of God, believe it, and it happens, you know. And that was really, you know, what I was going to talk about tonight. Amen.